Welcome one and all to another day here at the Damage Report. It's a John Solo show, so you know, some good, some bad. But anyway, I'm excited because we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Not only the continued fallout from the disastrous Supreme Court decision in Arizona and the Republicans in a variety of different ways trying to work their way through this, trying to save their chances in the 2024 election. So we'll be going through all of that, both on the side of the media, the independent media on the right, and their politicians as well. We've got updates on the coming criminal trial, which we are now, there's 4 days away, the beginning of the first ever criminal trial of a former president. I don't know about you, but I'm excited and I'm on the edge of my seat for some judge or court of appeals to swoop in and save his butt. So we'll see about that. But we have a lot to talk about when it comes to that, as well as the current state of the RNC. Obviously now headed up by Lara Trump. She presented herself as willing to go in a different direction than the others have in terms of the big lie. We're gonna be evaluating the evidence for that. And we'll be closing out the first hour with Lauren Boebert's new ad, which I have not seen yet. I wanna react live. I hear that she's brought her family into it, which I think is a bold gambit for the Congresswoman. So we'll be closing out the hour with that. And all that is just in the first hour. Coming up in the aftermath, we've got tons. We've got voters around the world turn against democracy. We've got demons and we have JK Rowling, for better or for worse. So lots to talk about. I just want to quickly acknowledge before we get into our news, OJ Simpson has apparently died at 76 as a result of prostate cancer. And yeah, so that happened. OJ Simpson died. And okay, I didn't know he had cancer and I didn't know that he was still alive, I guess. I don't really care either way. Anyway, the only way that I really care is it continues to give me a very weird relationship with the Naked Gun movies. But that other than that, like, okay, he died. Anyway, let's move on to more important news, starting with this.
And the people on the left are so desperate, attacking Trump now for an Arizona Supreme Court ruling that upholds what is a Civil War era law banning abortion. This will be fixed in the next week or two. Let not your heart be troubled. I can pretty much assure that that will happen.
Okay, let not your heart be troubled. He can assure. Well, we're gonna check in on the status of his assurance. I also just wanna quickly say that if you want to blame Donald Trump for this Civil War era law, bear in mind that if he hadn't put those conservatives on the Supreme Court and they hadn't killed Roe v. Wade, there is no way that that law would be enforceable. So if you wanna blame Donald Trump, you go right ahead. That's how cause and effect works. But anyway, Sean Hannity is not only sure that the law will be repealed, but also he knows who should be blamed for it not yet being repealed. Take a look.
Trump opposes the law and this ruling, or you can believe Joe's make pretend Donald Trump that doesn't exist. And you know what? Arizona's governor is a Democrat. The state's attorney general is a Democrat. The state legislature is almost evenly divided. If Democrats, you want to get rid of the law, well, you have a chance right now to get rid of it. And I would advise you, get rid of it. They would rather use it as a political tool ahead of November. Most politicians on the left do not actually care about making your life better.
Okay, I want you to bear in mind that that man makes $25 million a year, seemingly, because that is what his political analysis is worth. His ability to predict the way things are gonna go, his grasp of the present status quo in politics, his understanding of the past politics is worth $25 million for 1 year. He works for a couple months, giving us his boundless wisdom. And that is worth more than you or I's labor through the course of our entire life. And to that end, let's now analyze what he just said right there. So he's saying Trump does not approve of this law. What the hell are you talking about? Do you not watch Donald Trump's videos? Because just a day or two ago, he said, the will of the people, some states will be more conservative, some less conservative. That's the way it is. It's the states, it's what everybody wants. Well, if that's what you want, just the states to decide, right now, according to the Republicans in Arizona, this is how they've decided. But okay, he doesn't want you to, he's just trying to save Donald Trump's butt or whatever. Okay, so it needs to be repealed, but it probably won't be. And if it isn't, it's because of those damn Democrats, the governor, the secretary of state, neither of whom have a direct ability to actually alter the outcomes right now. So the Democrats don't want to repeal it. They want to use it as a, I'm getting a report. Oh, the Democrats tried to repeal it actually. They were unsuccessful because of the Democrats, right? No, the Republicans. Oh, wait a second. That makes Sean Hannity look like an idiot. That can't be right. Like literally as he's monologuing, they're trying to repeal it and being thwarted by the Republicans. And it's so weird because the Democrats don't actually care about improving people's lives. And obviously the Republicans want to do that. And yet the Republicans have killed it. And it is, like sarcasm aside, it is honestly a little bit surprising because I know that they want to strip away rights and all that. But the reaction, both inside of Arizona and nationally, to this ruling has been so negative that I honestly thought they would repeal it and then replace it with some other draconian law or whatever. But at least in the short term, you have to reassure people that you're not Gilead. I gave them too much credit. I gave Arizona Republicans too much credit. Maybe my political analysis is worth only as much as Sean Hannity. So give me my $25 million. But anyway, here's what actually happened. And Sean Hannity, please pay attention to this for once in your life. So currently Republicans control each chamber of Arizona's legislature by 2 seats. And I know that you already know that because Sean Hannity very conveniently described the status of the state legislatures as almost evenly split. That is how he implied that the Democrats would be responsible if it wasn't repealed. He knows full well, maybe, that the Republicans are in control of both houses of the legislature, but he pretends that it's almost evenly split. Yeah, you know how like a 5-4 Supreme Court would be like almost even for all the good that would do the law. But anyway, Democrat Representative Stephanie Stahl Hamilton sponsored the repeal. And then here is what happened. The Democrat tried to repeal it as he said they would not. Representative Matt Gress on Wednesday morning introduced a motion to force a House vote on the bill. He was the lone House Republican to support the repeal effort. Representative David Livingston then made a motion to adjourn and stall the vote, and that motion passed. Stahl Hamilton, the Democrat, tried to move the repeal again during the afternoon, but Republicans again adjourned. And the House Speaker, who Sean Hannity is a Republican, opposes repeal, told reporters on Wednesday that there's no reason to rush a vote on an emotionally charged issue barely 24 hours after the Supreme Court's ruling. Waiting will give lawmakers some time to calm down a bit, really process and think through, listen to their constituents, talk to each other. And look, I think sometimes we can be too quick to judgment in politics, but right now, you think that this is the thing that we need to like carefully consider? Should we keep this 1864 thing? You know, maybe it has some merit. What are you talking about? Sean Hannity already explained to you, dude, that it has no merit. And I love that because Sean Hannity is not just wrong. The Republicans are not just wrong. It wasn't that the Democrats didn't want to repeal it. Only one Republican was willing to. Twice they stopped it from happening. So I can't wait to see what the monologue is tonight. But anyway, this is not good politics for them. It's not good politics for their control of the House. Remember, it's only, they only have a 2-seat advantage. It's narrowly split between the two. And everybody's focusing on the fact that this could affect the presidential outcome. That Arizona, which is a state that obviously Trump wants to win, he might not as a result of this. Carrie Lake's future is in question now at this point. But what about control of the state house? What about control of the state legislature overall? Stay tuned to find out.
Mr. President, did Arizona go too far? Did Arizona go too far?
Yeah, they did, and that'll be straightened out. And as you know, it's all about states' rights. That'll be straightened out. And I'm sure that the governor and everybody else are going to bring it back into reason, and that'll be taken care of, I think, very quickly.
What do you think about Florida?
Florida's probably maybe going to change also. See, it's all what the will of the people. This is what I've been saying. It's a perfect system.
Okay, it's not a perfect system. That's why you're scrambling to come up with a position that allows you to get elected. Let's be clear about that. But also, do you notice the flip-flop there? So he's implying, I guess, maybe to Sean Hannity's credit, that he has a problem with the Arizona thing. Oh, it'll get straightened out. They'll come to reason. What about Florida? Their 6-week ban, bear in mind, which is the exact same thing as a total ban. Will of the people. That's the beautiful thing. States' rights. Well, why is it states' rights for Florida, but not states' rights for Arizona? Is it because you're not worried about losing Florida, but you're worried about losing Arizona? That is what states' rights is worth to these people. So if you're new to American politics, I want to catch you up to something that is not talked about often enough, because you will often hear about states' rights. And here is what you need to know about states' rights as a concept. Nobody actually gives a damn about states' rights ever in any case. It is only ever a convenient way to get what you want. I can't get it at the federal level yet. Maybe someday I will. But about at the state level, in that case, I should be allowed to win there because states' rights. Should the other side be able to do at the state level what I don't like, but is allowed by the federal government? Like, there's no consistency whatsoever. Let's be very clear about that. And Donald Trump is not the nuanced thinker necessary to try to fool you into thinking that he actually cares about states' rights. Inside of 15 seconds of video, he makes clear that he has no actual commitment to that. So let's be very clear about that. But like many in right-wing media, he is trying to flip this horrible situation in Arizona on its head to his own political benefit. Take a look at this.
You know, the Democrats are reeling when they have no response to my recent statement on abortion other than, oh, he's only kidding, or he will change it, or he's not going to do that, he'll do something else, because he knows and they know that when they say that, they're in trouble.
I mean, I think in general, the Democrats are in trouble because the polls don't look good for Biden, but I don't think this has anything to do with it. What are you talking about? We're reeling. The fact that you put out this statement is evidence of the fact that you're reeling. You're looking at all of these losses that the Republicans have racked up over the past 2 years, thanks to what you did on the Supreme Court. And you're desperately trying to find something you can say to bamboozle people into throwing away their rights by voting for you in 2024. We're reeling. You're literally reeling off of what happened in Arizona. The hell out of here with that. I'm perfectly comfortable with my consistent position on this issue. You're the one that has to change your position seemingly every 2 weeks, and even more quickly based on what's happening in one state versus in another. You're desperately trying to find a position you can stand on that won't lose you the election. So let's be very clear about that. But anyway, he is now asserting that, because I've been asking tough questions of him ever since Monday when he put out the new abortion position. I said, if you think that he won't sign a ban, if it comes across the desk of the Oval Office or whatever, that you're crazy. And also I made clear that he did not actually even address that in his original statement. Well, okay, gauntlet thrown down. Here is what he said. He was asked in Atlanta, if he would not sign a federal abortion ban, would you sign a national abortion ban if Congress sent it to your desk? No, he said, you wouldn't sign it. No, and that is, to his credit, direct. It's a lie, but it's direct. So he can say, oh, they're saying is that I'm lying, or I'll switch it up. Well, that's not all I'm saying, but I have said that, and I will say that again. You're lying because you're a massive, massive liar in general, but in particular on this topic. And I'm not gonna go through all of his history on the topic. I will simply remind people, as I did yesterday, that in the late 90s, he was such a supporter of abortion that he wouldn't even ban late term abortion. The thing that he now lies about and says people are killing babies at 1 month after birth or whatever. You cannot trust him at all on this. Just through the course of this year alone, he's radically changed his position on a national ban, when it should happen, if it should happen. And look, if you're a person who theoretically could get pregnant, and if you want to roll the dice on your bodily autonomy by voting for Donald Trump, that is your right as an American. You can do that. But if you're going to trust the guy who has racked up literally tens of thousands of verified lies on PolitiFact, okay, I will simply remind everyone that he's a massive liar. And I think that more than any other politician in the modern era, he has generated good cause for believing that that's a continued situation for him. In any event, I want to go to a more specific concern over this. Here's a little bit more of Trump.
Question, you answered some questions about abortion, but do you think a doctor should be punished who perform abortions?
I'll let that be to the states. You know, everything we're doing now is states and states' rights. And what we wanted to do is get it back to the states, because for 53 years it's been a fight, and now the states are handling it, and some have handled it very well, and the others will end up handling it very well. And those are the things that states are going to make a determination about. Okay.
You little wussy weeny little boy. Oh, you little craven coward. Look at every question now. Just to the states. I don't have anything to do with it. I mean, I'm the big strong man. Only I can save you. Not on abortion. I'm scared. I won't say anything. I could lose the election. So expect a lot more of that through the course of this year. He is going to hide behind that in all cases. We fought for 53 years and now we won't fight anymore because I've thrown it to the states so we can have 50 different fights constantly. Yeah, nobody's fighting anywhere about abortion right now. Thank you, Donald Trump, for saving us from that conflict. You did us a real boon there. But anyway, right now, there is a lot of concern about many states literally throwing physicians in jail for performing the medical procedures they have throughout their career. And you can see the state of those lies. You have a variety of different thresholds for when they can be locked up, but there's a lot of states that already have that position. And does Donald Trump think that they should be doing that? Who knows? He's certainly not gonna say because the dude is terrified of his position. But also, it's craven, it's cowardly, it totally undercuts the idea that he's some kind of alpha brave man or whatever. But it's also, at the end of the day, utterly pointless because Donald Trump has already made clear in recent times, we don't have to go back to the late 90s to know what he thinks about this stuff. He's been talking about it nonstop, and we will continue to put that into ads. It will continue to turn voters away from him. So when he was saying just a couple of weeks ago, it should be nationally banned at 15 weeks. Yeah, that's gonna end up in some ads. When he's bragging as of like a week ago that he killed Roe v. Wade, that's still gonna go in the ads. And I'll remind everyone that now the tiny little craven little boy that he is, he won't even mention whether doctors should be thrown in jail, whether they should be punished. But I will remind everyone that a couple of years ago when he was talking with Chris Matthews, he said that the woman should be punished. The person getting the abortion should be punished. And he was still kind of a coward back then. He wouldn't say what the form or the amount of the punishment should actually be, but that's what he thought. And if you think that he's changed, surely we would never go around throwing people who just had abortions in jail. Feel free to hold that position. And again, roll the dice on how dark our future could look.
You shouldn't have to fear a court decision because you shouldn't go get an abortion. Just as a moral matter, you should not pursue abortion and believe that the court is the imposition to you. Because abortion is immoral and wrong and sinful. Okay, but put all of that aside, the politics here are very good for Democrats because what Democrats want is for pro-lifers to move really fast and really hard in a wide variety of battleground states, hoping that they will then get the Michigan-Kansas response.
I love the connection between those two parts of what Ben Shapiro said because it's amazing. He says, in closing, the politics are good for Democrats. Why is that? Now, he's never going to really admit why the Republicans look so bad when they do these things, when they're willing to throw doctors in prison or throw women in prison or whatever, that they fundamentally don't see these people as fully human. That's inescapable at this point. But he says that, seeming to acknowledge that the Republican Party has not been persuasive on this after he himself just did a horrible job of persuading people of his position. And I just want to briefly mention, many of you watching the show, maybe you haven't been following this for very long. You may not even know what the brand of Ben Shapiro was supposed to be originally. The idea that was supposed to be, and he got glossy magazine write-ups for all this, was he's not like a regular whack job Republican. He's an intellectual gladiator. He's logical. He doesn't care about feelings. He cares about facts, which is how you get that incredibly persuasive call to if you don't think that it's right that you could be locked up for this, just don't do it. It's immoral. It's sinful. Well, I'm persuaded. No, but seriously, like this is what has become of Ben Shapiro. And look, I'm mostly being sarcastic. I don't think the brand was even in intent accurate initially. The guy liked to do debates and the brand was always because he wants to persuade people. It's a brand building exercise. That's it. It's how you draw eyeballs. It's not about persuading anyone. It's simply not. And so when you just whine to women or people who can get pregnant that they're being sinful, that's not going to win people over. Historically, or right now, that's not gonna help your position literally right now, Ben Shapiro, or to the many others in the right wing that don't have a better argument than that. Simply stating it's immoral is morally indistinguishable from saying, I don't like it. That's not how you persuade people. And this is not a hypothetical, you're not gonna persuade people. I've been saying for 2 years now, this is why for 50 years they tried and failed to get the American people to agree with them on abortion. They were incapable of doing that because at the end of the day, all of their arguments boil down to that. A whiny little guy like Ben Shapiro telling people that they're being sinful. That's not logic. That's not even a bad argument. That's not an argument. That's you just saying, I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. Some priest told me it was bad. That's not how you win people over, okay? That's why you're losing so many elections. You got your way in the Supreme Court, but people don't like it. Many Republicans don't even agree with you on this. But don't let me get between you and continued failure. Continue to not win people over to your side. Continue to remind people with every show of why so many women find your ideology utterly reprehensible. Because you have no respect for them whatsoever. But I don't want to focus too much on Ben Shapiro. There's a whole lot of carbon copies of him. Let's turn now briefly to Charlie Kirk.
Now, to be clear, this was not some liberal ruling designed to put us in a trap. The Arizona Supreme Court is 100% Republican. And frankly, this ruling was likely the correct one. But it still puts us in a very tough spot. So what I sent out yesterday is very clear, which is this. Which is, sometimes you don't get to choose when you fight the big battles. Getting rid of abortion is an irrefutable and necessary moral good for society in Arizona.
If your kind of way to navigate this is to say, well, make it states' rights. Well, then what happens when a state does outlaw it? If you turn around and oppose that too, well, then it appears that you're just pro-abortion. And that's some of what we're seeing in Arizona right now, where after the Supreme Court decision, a law is going to go into effect. It's not a federal law. It's a law in that particular state that's going to ban most abortions. And yet we have people on the right who appear to be opposed to that too. Which doesn't make any sense to me if you're claiming that this is states' rights. Well, that's the state has the right to pass that law, don't they?
And it's been eye opening to me because what should have been met with celebration, Matt, was met with retreat.
So this is gonna be a weird moment. Matt Walsh is totally right there. I mean, he's utterly wrong on abortion. Like, it's a devastatingly stupid position, incredibly unpopular, and he has no more ability than Ben Shapiro to ever win a single person over to his position on that than Ben Shapiro does. But he is right in saying that. And I get, maybe he's not brave enough to say Trump is who he's talking about. If you're saying it's states' rights and then a state passes a horrible law and you suddenly say they shouldn't do that, well, is it states' rights or not? Okay. But anyway, so setting him aside with Charlie Kirk, again, he has, again, no better ability than Ben Shapiro to go beyond simply a statement of the religious dogma or the misinterpretation of religious dogma. Because again, the Bible does not have the position on abortion that they would try to fool you into thinking it does. He simply says it's a moral obligation that we don't have abortion. Would you like to make an argument for that? Would you like to make an argument that could win over the many, many Christians who don't agree with you, let alone the non-Christians who don't agree with you? Would you like you're a political pundit. You're supposed to be able to like make an argument, even a bad one. Again, this is not a bad argument. This is not an argument at all. It's simply a recitation of flawed religious dogma. That's all it is. And you might think, well, why is it? And I'll end on this. Why is it that there's such a big gap between people like Ben Shapiro, Charlie Kirk, Matt Walsh, and Donald Trump or other Republicans in this way? Well, first of all, at the state level, there isn't necessarily, because again, Republicans in Arizona are desperately trying to keep this law on the books. But there is a gap because at the end of the day, the incentives are very different. And some of the ways that they're different are fairly obvious, they're transparent, but some are not. These people at the end of the day are influencers or whatever. They're media grifters. They have acquired an audience. They looked out across the political landscape and they said, okay, here's a group that desperately wants to hear this thing. Let me just say that that's my worldview or whatever, and then I'll say it and then they'll watch me or whatever. And they need that. They like, not one of those guys is gonna stand on principle if it results in them having to get a real job or something. No, they're gonna continue to say whatever they think. And the morally pure position is strip every bit of these rights away. These people don't deserve consideration at all. They don't deserve control over their body. And you say something like that, not because it's a governing philosophy that makes sense or it can help you to put together a coalition that wins an election or anything like that. At the end of the day, they might say they want those things. They want to win elections, but that's not their prime incentive. Their prime incentive is to be morally pure in an utterly immoral fashion from my worldview. But that's what they're doing. And they're doing a good job of it by saying there should effectively be no There should be no exceptions whatsoever. Remember, the bill that they're supporting in Arizona is worse than many of the modern ones in terms of exceptions, but they're fine with that because that's what they need to reassure their audience. And I will also say once, I might have mentioned this last week, don't simply take for granted that these guys want Trump to win. I know that they would say that they want Trump to win. He's the Republican after all. But is that actually better for the pursuit of their actual incentives? The audience share, the money and all of that. Is that actually what they want at the end of the day? To get Donald Trump in there, pass more unpopular bills or what? Like, really? Maybe. Just throwing out there as a thought experiment. But anyway, that said, we are way over on our first segment. We've got lots more to talk about on the other side, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Okay, I'm gonna end with this. A comment from Twitch saying, I think wrestling is a sport. The outcome is determined, but what happens in between could really harm these individuals. And then references one where there are injuries. Well, sure, I mean, it is actually risky as well. But also, and I will continue to, I don't know, like try to persuade people on this. The idea that it's predetermined, I don't find to be as persuasive as many people does. Yes, they know who's gonna win in advance, but I don't. And isn't that kind of the important part? Anyway, with that said, why don't we move on to other news, starting with this. In just a few days, Donald Trump will go on trial yet again, but this time a criminal trial. The biggest threat to his freedom yet that he has faced, that any former president has faced. And importantly, there appears to be absolutely nothing that he can do to stop it. Nothing successful anyway. He is certainly trying. I'll give him credit for that. He was denied efforts to delay the beginning of that trial on Monday of this week and also Tuesday of this week. But then on Wednesday of this week, he was denied in his attempt to delay the trial. So I don't know, today's Thursday, let's go for four, Trump. But anyway, legal experts believe that he is running out of delay tactics, and that may be true, but that is basically the entire legal strategy of his defense in all of these cases. So don't write off the possibility that they could throw some sort of, you know, like massive grenade into the works at the last minute. But I want to give like an update on how their efforts are becoming a little bit more obviously laughable, even to non-lawyers. So Trump attorney Emile Bove presented a grab bag of arguments for a stay, basically delaying the beginning of the trial, during a hearing just yesterday, including reiterating his stance that the proceedings should be paused while Trump challenges what Bove called the unacceptable and unconstitutional restrictions that the judge handed down in a partial gag order last month that was expanded days later. So again, the idea that Donald Trump can't go on Truth Social and talk smack about lawyers is cause to not have the trial in the first place. That's ridiculous. You don't even have to be a real lawyer to understand how ridiculous that is. Alina Haba understands how ridiculous that is. But anyway, jury selection will be beginning on just Monday. The trial is definitely gonna go for at least a few weeks, so I'm gonna need you to buckle up for that. But let's go to a little bit more of the justification for that gag order before we get to Donald Trump continuing to complain about it. So in the original order, the judge cited Trump's uncontested record of attacking individuals involved in his legal matters as reason to limit his speech. The order barred Trump from attacking witnesses, prosecutors, and court staff, but did not preclude him from hurling insults at the DA, Alvin Bragg, or the judge himself. And it was obviously later expanded to include family members of those two individuals for obvious reason. Trump had spent every day naming and showing pictures of the judge's daughter. That is just, like, I understand that if you're a MAGA person, you're probably not watching this. But if you are and you're watching this, I understand that you may not very much like me because sometimes it seems like I insult you, and that's true, I do. But I have your best interest at heart economically, do I not? But that said, do you actually think that this is acceptable? I know you think there's a deep state and whatever, but she's a human being, like, and she's facing death threats. And we already know that there are people on the right willing to go and attack, nearly kill the family members of notable Democrats. I will refer you to Paul Pelosi. I know that you think that that's a hilarious joke when Don Jr. jokes about it on Instagram, but his skull was cracked open. And I, for one, don't want the judge's daughter's skull cracked open with a hammer. And for many of you who I'm sure are right-wing Christians, I kind of feel like Jesus is on my side on this thing. So in any event, let's try to stop that from happening by stopping some of the baseless attacks on social media. In any event, Trump does not agree with me or with Jesus. he's still mad about this. And so he recently truthed, "On Monday, I will be forced to sit gagged before a highly conflicted and corrupt judge whose hatred for me knows no bounds." Again, I don't know what the evidence for him hating Donald Trump is. He's just allowing a trial to go forward. That's all. You know, if you believe that you have some sort of defense, present it. But you're not, like, does anyone else think that it's suspicious that every judge is biased against him? Every DA, at the very least, those who happen to be black are also racist against him. Does anyone think that that's a bit of a coincidence? And I know, unfortunately, many on the right do, and they think that it's evidence of a deep state or whatever. But I think it's evidence that he's just a liar. I think he's a criminal liar. And I think that that will come out once we finally get to these trials. And so this is not a true defense. It's communism. It's election no, that's not going to save you. Okay, when we get to the trial, as we hopefully will on Monday, we're gonna find out, did you do the payments? Did you lie about the payments in your accounting? Is that actually illegal? The answer to all of these questions seems to be yes, but you know, we've been surprised by trials before. So at the end of the day, we just need to find out what actually happened. But before we get to that, Donald Trump believes he has a last minute bit of evidence that might throw into chaos this entire thing. And I want to turn to that right now. Donald Trump, just days away from the beginning of the hush money trial, believes he has a piece of evidence that is going to kill this entire thing. And here it is. He posted on Truth, "Look what was just found. Will the fake news report it?" Well, as a member of the fake news, I must do this. So this is a letter. And look, if you want, you can go to it. You can see it. Over the past few weeks, this is supposedly from Stormy Daniels, 2018, January 30th, 2018. "Over the past few weeks, I've been asked countless times to comment on reports on the alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 2011, 2016, 2017, and now again in 2018. I am not denying this affair because I was paid hush money, as has been reported in overseas owned tabloids. I am denying this affair because it never happened. I will have no further comment on this matter. Please check blah, blah, blah on Instagram." Okay, so that does seem damning, doesn't it? It does seem damning if it's true. And here's the thing, it appears that that is authentic. She did actually send that letter. But is it damning? Are any of the other claims that Donald Trump is making about it true? Not so much. First of all, look what was just found. No, it wasn't. You know it wasn't, because you've posted about this before and not recently. We've all seen this. Look, if you watching this haven't seen that, through no fault of your own, maybe you're new to following politics, then that's perfectly fine. But this has been going around for years and years. And it objectively says, it seems word by word, what he says it does, but it doesn't actually in practice. And so let's try to catch up a little bit. So first of all, that has been shared for a very long time. Stormy Daniels herself has talked about it. She posted on Twitter in response to this. She put in her book in 2018, she talked about it. She said then what she's saying now. She was bullied to sign it. She feared for her life. She had no idea if anyone would believe her. And by the way, when she and many other women came out about their experience with Donald Trump, most of them were not believed. So there was reason to fear what she feared. And she feared literally for her life. And so she has for years now been clear that she felt pressured into signing that, that it wasn't true when she said it. And look, if you don't believe her, then I understand that. You have the letter, you have her denying the existence of the letter. That seems to call it into question for me, but maybe you don't believe that. To be clear, back in 2011, in an interview with In Touch Weekly, she was asked about this. Okay, all the way back in 2011. This is years and years before that letter. So she passed a polygraph exam, apparently. She said that the two had sex on one occasion, and she described future meetings with them. They didn't publish it at the time because she threatened to sue the publication. It did end up getting published in 2018. Now, I don't know exactly why she was so worried about it coming out, considering that she did talk about it in the interview. That said, she has since described worrying about being killed as a result of revealing what she has. So maybe that plays into it. But in any event, this is not the evidence that he thinks it is. Many, many people sign things that they don't actually mean, that they don't actually believe, that don't actually reflect reality because of their fears of the consequences if they do not do so. And considering the willingness that Donald Trump has to intimidate witnesses, both on social media, but also previously by dispatching Michael Cohen to like stalk them and hound them through their private lives. You can understand why a person like Stormy Daniels might be worried about going up against a guy like Donald Trump. And by the way, she'd been making those claims, notably, the math is clear, before he ran for president. This is not a thing that suddenly came out just because he was running for office. It has nothing to do with Joe Biden. This all predates that by literally years. And very, very few people actually deny that the events happened. The original affair, the hush money payments, the lying about it to cover his tracks. Nobody really seems to disagree with the facts of the case. They just disagree with whether the facts should matter in the case. And that said, Donald Trump, this is a pathetic last ditch effort to try to throw the entire thing into chaos or delay it or whatever. It's not going to work. And if we get to this trial, everybody deserves to finally find out exactly what happened. And hopefully in a matter of just a few weeks, we'll know that. And in just a few days, we'll begin to know. Now that said, let's say that we get to the actual trial. I'm interested in who might testify and what effect that might have. And a discussion about that came up in talking about one of the reasons that Donald Trump cares so much about the outcome of this trial beyond just the fact that it might put him in jail. And so we're going to turn to Stephanie Clifford, former associate of the Trump family, particularly Melania Trump, talking about this on CNN. Take a look at this.
So at this last moment, there's this frenetic desire to have this case delayed. So why is Trump doing that, Stephanie?
You know, so this case, many people have said is probably the least damning against him. And I don't disagree with that. However, this is very personal to him. This is an embarrassment to him with his family and more importantly, with his wife, Melania.
And you can sort of understand why that would be. Now, Donald Trump is not a guy who was just going through his life, totally upstanding guy, perfect husband until all of a sudden Stormy Daniels popped up. No, he has the history that he has and you don't have to listen to me on that. He brags about it with people like Billy Bush. But that said, this was a very detailed, very widely reported case of infidelity. And in particular, the fact that it happened just a couple of months after Melania gave birth, you can all understand, I'm sure, how this would be a tense subject for the Trump family. So that said, they obviously care about the outcome of this. And Stephanie Grisham, who knew Melania, knew her at this time, gives more details.
You know, I spent a ton of time with her when the news was breaking about Stormy Daniels when we were in the White House. And then, of course, with Karen McDougal, who's the former Playboy playmate, when those came out that he allegedly had these affairs. And she didn't take it lightly at all. We went to the State of the Union separately. She refused to walk out to Marine One with him because she did not want to be like Hillary Clinton and standing by her man. She's a very independent and strong woman. And I might add, there have been articles just recently that she's his secret weapon for this upcoming campaign. And so I would imagine that she is pushing him to make this stop. I would imagine that she will push him to go on the stand and defend himself because this is very, very embarrassing for her. It's humiliating for her. And I can guarantee you that she's not happy right now and that he's quite worried about that.
Yeah, I buy both of those. I think that she's not happy right now, but also probably in general. And I think that he's very worried right now, but also probably in general. And interestingly, look, like that's Stephanie Clifford. So she's Stephanie Grisham. Sorry, I apologize. Stephanie Grisham, I'm getting mixed up with Stormy Daniels in the case. Stephanie Grisham commenting on that right there. And I know many people might think that she's one of those people like many who left the Trump orbit or whatever and is now just like ceaselessly critical of them. But I don't think that in this case she really is being that. She's revealing some of the private stuff of how Melania reacted to it. And we can debate whether that's fair or not. I don't think anybody's surprised by what she revealed. And the way that she's trying to interpret what she thinks Melania is doing in terms of the case, I would say if she wanted to take cheap shots or go harder, she definitely could. Like she's saying that Melania wants him to shut it down, to get on the stand and defend himself. Whether she's like maybe unfair sometimes to the Trump family, she's at least implying the possibility that Melania like thinks that he didn't actually do it and that there is a defense. I mean, that seems too generous. He did it. He definitely did it. He didn't just do this. He did many, many, many things. And again, I have empathy for Melania and having to go through this with how horrendous Donald Trump is in this area. But What is the testimony going to be? I mean, we know what the testimony is going to be. He's going to sit there and he's going to call Stephanie Clifford horseface. That's what he's going to do. He's going to attack her. It's going to be vicious and it's not going to help him. And I'm not the only one saying that. Watch.
We've seen him operate kind of on the stand under pressure in a couple of situations in which it just didn't go well for him. So the E. Jean Carroll deposition does not go well for him. He actually attacks the woman lawyer who's representing E. Jean Carroll. And he repeats the Hollywood Access tape in front of her in a way that's just very bad for him and very damaging for him. And then in the civil fraud case, the judge actually says that when Trump was on the stand, he ended up being non-credible. He hurt his case. So I think it'd be very bad for him for that reason, but for personal reasons having to do with his wife, trying to try to win public attention or the public story or narrative, that's a different matter. But for a legal matter, he'd be in deep trouble.
In deep trouble.
And again, look, he is going to be more interested in, I guess, maybe trying to reassure Melania, but definitely trying to reassure his base if he testifies. And that might help him in the public eye in the MAGA world, but it's not going to help him legally. It never has when he testifies. My guess would be that he does not, although I really, really hope that he does. And you know, there's domestic concerns for him coming out of this, but I will remind you all, there are concerns far beyond that. This is not a thing where if it doesn't go his way, he owes Stormy Daniels $40 million or something. This is a criminal trial. He could, in theory, spend time in prison. Now, I don't know what the odds of that actually are. He has shown an incredible ability to wriggle his way out of legal consequences, but this is a serious matter. We will have to see if he takes it as seriously as he should. With that said, we're gonna take another break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Is it going to be the position of the RNC in 2024 that the 2020 election was not fairly decided or that it was stolen somehow?
Well, I think we're past that. I think that's in the past.
Oh, they're past it. They're responsible now. They're not weighed down by those old timey conspiracy theories. That's what Laura Trump, new head of the RNC, said just a couple of weeks ago. Well, let's catch up and see. Are they past it? Have they moved on? Take a look.
And I'm sure you agree with co-chair Trump that we cannot allow the chaos and questions of the 2020 election to ever happen again. We all know the problems. No photo IDs, unsecured ballot drop boxes, mass mailing of ballots, and voter rolls chock full of deceased people and non-citizens are just a few examples of the massive fraud that took place. If Democrats have their way, your vote could be canceled out by someone who isn't even an American citizen. Can you support us with a special election security gift of $50 or $35 today?
Yeah, that was a robocall that the RNC put out, and that was Lara Trump's voice. I don't know if it's actually Lara Trump or if they just did it via AI or something, but the RNC put the official stamp of approval on Lara Trump's statement, which is going to go out to tens, hundreds, millions of voters that they believe all those same lies. And the thing about it is that's so ridiculous. It isn't that they're sticking with the big lie. I get that. But Laura Trump, despite having no qualifications whatsoever to run the RNC, at least seemed to be willing to embrace strategies for voting that would give them a better chance of actually winning. And then like they killed the mail-in voter effort. Like, and you can hear the same sort of things in that. If we could bring up this graphic, you'll see they had been like moving toward like, no, she's not any better. She's not any more reasonable. And why would she? She's on the phone with Trumps all day long. And she can say they're moving on. She may genuinely believe that they should. And it definitely would be in their interest in terms of winning races. And I'm not even just talking about the Trump race. They need to win Senate races. They have a very good chance of taking back the Senate. They need to expand their razor thin margin in the House. But they're turning against the early voting and mail-in voting and all of these things. I just think that it's a bad idea. And you know what? I'm not like a GOP strategist or whatever, but they also think that it's a bad idea. Listen.
The problem is we've already seen for Republicans, we've already seen this play out. This is voter suppression. It is Republicans suppressing their own votes. We saw it in Georgia with Trump's unsuccessful race there in 2020. And then we saw it with the Senate races when Donald Trump was out there saying, your vote doesn't matter. It's been taken away from you. Everything that Laura Trump just said there, it's cost Republicans. Republicans have long had an advantage on this. And unfortunately, in deference to Donald Trump, as always, they're just giving it away.
And that is the difficult position that they find themselves in. Even when like Trump and the right of the MAGA movement has been able to line up so many things the way they want. I mean, they literally have a family member of Trump in charge of the RNC, but that does not, that's not going to save them necessarily, because they built this beast, this MAGA movement. They fed it with conspiracy theories every single day. They taught it to believe that just looking for the man hidden behind things is like the greatest aspiration in politics, to never trust anyone in a position of influence or like expertise or anything like that. And so they have to feed them things like this. This is what the base wants, maybe even more than the base wants victory. They want to believe that they are the aggrieved victim, the minority in this, that's being beaten down by the deep state, that someday a hero will save them. They might want that more than the hero to actually save them. And so we'll see. It looked like she was gonna go in a different direction, and instead she seems to just be bowing down to pressure from the Trump family. And so not in their political interests, but what are you gonna do? Not gonna help them. Okay, with that said, we have one more story we're gonna close out the hour with. Okay, so Lauren Boebert has released a new ad, and she's actually brought her family into it, which, if you know anything about Lauren Boebert, seems like a bit of a risky move. That said, I have not seen this ad yet. I'm gonna watch it live with you and give you my thoughts.
Hey mom, you wanna go shoot some hoops?
Sorry, Roman, I can't right now. I'm deciding what to say in my new campaign commercial.
That's easy, mom. Why don't you just tell them about how you carry your gun and always fight for freedom?
Well, I think they already know that.
Did you tell them that you voted to cut spending and increase American energy production?
That's pretty good.
I know. You should probably also tell them that you passed bills to create Colorado jobs and to secure the border.
Great points, Roman. What's next?
I'm Lauren Boebert, and I approve this message.
Okay, so as I said, I hadn't watched that video. Look, bringing your family in is a risky thing, and I understand that a lot of people are probably gonna attack her on that. I think that I am much more interested in attacking her on other things. If you want to bring your family in or whatever, okay, she's a mom. I'm sure she loves her kid or whatever. And that, and by the way, that's not the kid that's been arrested or whatever. So anyway, I will say this to Lauren Boebert. Okay, if your bid to stay in Congress doesn't work, I don't think Hollywood is a good backup plan for you. I don't think that you quite have it. But anyway, on the substance of what's said there, like having the literal first thing that your young child says makes you qualify to be a congresswoman is that you're always packing heat is a really weird way to go. I understand that you find that to be your main appeal. It's what you based your restaurant around. It's what your big ads when you got into Congress were all about. You seem to want us to believe that you're most qualified because you carry a gun even in places where you're not supposed to. Again, I think that that's a weird way to go. I understand that some people do it. I personally think that guns being casually carried around is a bigger threat to your family members than literally anyone else rampaging marauders or anything like that, but you do you. In any event, the things that are claimed there, apparently there are a few factual issues with her claiming to have supported those things. And I could make the case, I've made the case before, but I'm gonna turn to Jared Sears here, who points out that the references, though vague, appear to reference particular bills, and then she's not being completely honest about it. So HR 2 apparently went nowhere because it's a poorly thought out bill to create a talking point instead of actually accomplishing anything. They talk about raising energy output among the domestic energy producers. He points out oil, natural gas, and propane production are the highest they've ever been, or the highest in the world. None of that is because of you, 100%. And by the way, like I don't even want that to be the case, but if it is, how do you not give credit to Joe Biden for that? If you think that drill, baby, drill is the most important thing to do, well, we've drilled, why are you not happy? But anyway, she also voted against the infrastructure bill that is creating those jobs. The jobs are being created, but over her objection. And so it is incredibly rich that she continues to claim credit for a thing that she tried to kill. She called the bill garbage and wasteful. And that, look, at the end of the day, that's what she's been as a congresswoman. Like, she's good at occasionally drawing publicity herself by like claiming to carry a gun onto the Capitol grounds or whatever, like yelling at Biden during a speech. But in terms of actually spearheading legislation to improve people's life, no, there's a reason that she had to hide behind her family, and she had to make these incredibly vague assertions to the work that other people have done that she's tried to stop. It's because she doesn't actually care about solving problems. And maybe that won't be enough to stop her from getting back into office. She's now gotten the endorsement of the county GOP in the new district that she's fled to. But if she does get back into office, she'll probably find in a couple of years that she's once again having a hard time getting people to support her because she doesn't seem all that interested in getting anything actually done. That said, we'll check in with the race more in the future. Hopefully we'll get some renewed polling. For now, though, we are over. Thank you to everybody who's been listening and or watching during this first hour. There's a lot more to come in the aftermath, though, so don't go anywhere if you're watching live. We'll be right back after this.